What the fuck is a reboot?
Hello and welcome back to the Clerks Minute Reboot, the show where we're looking back at the 2019 Kevin Smith movie, James Thalabar Reboot, 5 minutes at a time. I am your host, Blake.
I'm Kyle. I'm the guy that cancels all the good shows.
Yeah, that would pop me. That would pop me. Let's bring on our guest for today's episode, one of my oldest friends. I've known him since high school. He's been a regular on just about every single one of my podcasts for the last almost decade. Bring on Mike Donovan. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to be here. Got to make sure I make my at least one appearance per show.
So. Yeah. What's funny is we when this episode is being recorded, but by the time it airs, it's going to be the summer. But we just recorded our 9-year anniversary show, podcast wise, for the Blake and Sal show. Our 9-year anniversary show. We just recorded it.
So say, Ed, just for an obscure sci-fi reference, Mike Donovan taking a brief respite from his fight against the Visitors to join us.
What is so, Mike? Don't get the reference either.
V.
Okay, thank you. I didn't see that movie, so I am, or miniseries or any variation of it. Yeah. So, ay. All right, let's get into our movie, Mike. I ask everybody this question. I'm going to ask you. What were your thoughts when we first saw this movie? Did you see it on Amazon Prime? Did you see it in movie theaters? Did you see it for the first time when I asked you to be on the show?
No, I have. I watched it once they put it on Amazon Prime. So I had watched it prior to being asked to be on the show. To be completely honest, opinion-wise, probably not one of my favorite Kevin Smith movies. But, I mean, there's a lot of competition when it does come to his movies. So, even though I say it's not one of his, like, well, I would say one of, like, my favorites of his, is not really an insult when it compares to everything else he's put out. So,
it's true. It's very, very true. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. This, as we've been joking around, this is literally the most meta movie he's ever done. Which makes me terrified, because by the time it's out, we'll finally get the release information for Clerks 3. It terrifies me that this is so meta. What the hell are you doing for Clerks 3?
Like, literally filming the script pages and putting them up?
Well, you're not that far off from what I've seen. From what I've seen inside the club, which I'm not talking about here because I don't want to get in trouble with being a club member. From what I've seen, you're not that far off. You really aren't. Yeah, I remember the Kevin Smith Club, and I do not want to break the clause of talking about stuff off outside of the club. So just wanted to clarify that.
Honestly, I always thought a great ending for this movie would have been to basically just see that it's Kevin Smith typing this up on a computer and is going, "Eh, who'd watch this crap?"
But we'll worry about Clerks 3 when we get there at the end of the summer. But for now, let's get to Reboot. And we're picking up, right? Actually, we're actually picking up from the last episode. We had Mandy on the show. Mandy had never seen the movie before watching her minutes. So we spent a lot of time in that episode explaining to her what the hell was going on. But luckily, the next 5 minutes are really, really simple. Because they walk in and we had the Ben Affleck scene. That's what we're doing, right? So we're discussing the Ben Affleck scene for the next 5 minutes. Which is nothing wrong with that. I love this sequence. I watched the minutes literally before we come on. And it's Holden from Chasing Amy and from all the other movies just catching up with Jay and Salabob. That's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're doing for the next 5 minutes. And it's awesome. So, like, any thoughts on bringing Ben Affleck back in the movie? Especially because this is his first movie back.
I think it's great because I feel like it's like they have, like, an on-screen reunion. And it's so, like actually, like, kind of touching. Like, if we're just talking about the Affleck scene, I mean, I know we're going to eventually touch upon, like, the speech of, like, fatherhood. I know that's definitely a part of it, too.
Right.
Which I have my own thoughts of. But for just, like, the randomly having Affleck standing there and their general reaction would be probably the same as if they didn't even know he was going to be there. I mean, obviously they knew. But
wow.
I feel like they probably would have had, like, the exact same reaction if they randomly ran into him on the scene of their own movie, which I guess maybe could have happened.
Well, ironically, it did happen here. Well, the thing is, and this is the truth, this was not in the script. this sequence was not in the original script because Kevin figured there's no way in hell Ben's coming back for this movie. There's no way this is going to happen. So what he did was he wrote two scripts. He wrote one script without the Holden scenes and one with the Holden scenes. Because really, we take this whole sequence out, except for them getting the laminate in the next 5 minutes. It really doesn't affect the rest of this movie. It does not affect anything in this movie. You can take this out, and it's nothing really that important. But when you realize that literally Kevin found out Ben was going to be here 72 hours before they filmed this. So this was the first time they saw each other, was walking onto the set right before they filmed. That's amazing.
That makes a lot more sense with their general reaction then, like, because it really did feel that way.
Yeah, so, and the only reason anyone knew is because Kevin could not keep his mouth shut on this one. This is such a big deal to him. And he shocked everybody. He put a photo up of the three of them on his Instagram. Out of nowhere. Everyone knows he's filming the movie. He just put this picture up of the three of them. No context, no caption, no nothing. Just put this picture. What's shocking for Kevin anyway, because when Kevin put the picture up, he did like an 18-paragraph caption. So there was nothing there. And left everyone sitting there like, wait, what? What's going on? No way. There's no way this is real. But it was. And here we are. So I thought that was really fucking cool. I remember in the theater, because we didn't know what was going to happen in the theater. And the crowd popped. Our audience popped big for this moment, because we just had all these random weird panel moments. And then we walk in and we have this. And it's like, whoa. Well, this just went up things all of a sudden.
Shit, guys, I didn't know you were tight with Batman.
As we discussed in the last episode, you were saying I think it was Mandy. That Mandy said it was weird that you had Matt Damon pop up and then Ben Affleck pop up. It's just really random.
Actually, can I just...
Was it you? Did you say that?
No, I was going to say, can I just say something? It makes that line in Clerks 2 even funnier now. We took criminology for one semester. Who are we studying to be, Batman?
So true! Oh my god! Oh, wow. I did not even think of that!
What a connection.
Nicely done! Nicely done!
And wow. Sorry, what makes it even funnier is a little note that Jay and Bob give each other then.
Well done! I did not even think of that! That's a great call! Nicely done! But anyway... So first of all, before I even get to the video, I look at the screen, and I love the fact that Holden is doing a podcast called Blunt Man Beyond. I'm sorry, that makes me chuckle, because obviously, one of Kevin's major podcasts that he does live is called Fat Man Beyond, so that made me laugh. Which, by the way, Fat Man Beyond used to be Fat Man on Batman. He changed it when he realized that he wasn't doing interviews anymore. He was just doing a weekly show, so they changed it to Fat Man and Beyond.
Yeah.
So that's pretty funny to me. Also, I do want to shout out something. We do the tribute of the season, which would be Scott Holden. I'm just saying the whole season's tribute to him. His the last episode, I actually hosted the last episode of his podcast before he passed away, because he was redoing his show from That Man on Fat Man to That Man Beyond. And I actually interviewed him on his last podcast before he passed away. It was a little surprising, like, I heard he died. I was like, what happened? I just talked to him a few months ago. Like, I just talked to him. It was one of those weird ones. But this whole day season was dedicated to him, because he would have been here on this show, probably in the movie, if he was with us when this whole thing was going down. But anywho, back to what we were going on here. I love the fact that, like I said, they had the reaction of him being there. It's like, oh, amazing. And then he goes and says, you got mixed up with this bullshit, bullshit too. Which, again, we're back to the meta. We're back at this ridiculous meta commentary of this movie. And I love to say, he said, you sound like my agent, which probably sounds like his agent for real. Like, wait, what are you doing? Why are you going to New Orleans? Like, what are you doing? Ay-yi-yi.
Wait, you're getting paid what for this?
Really? You're doing a favor? And by the way, we have one more punch of them calling Kevin Smith Kevin James one more time. Again, which is pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, and wait a minute, they're not giving you a TiVo for this?
Come on. So then, like, we have the hugs, which are adorable. That's absolutely freaking adorable. And I love the fact that he also comments on Bob looking skinny, which has been a thing this entire movie. So we get into this. He starts talking about his podcast, which is cool. And I love the fact that the only podcast they compare to is the one from our Chinese girl that's been recording the entire movie. Yeah. That's the only reference point they have to podcasting, which is hysterical, knowing how much Kevin does.
Because the one that, as far as we know, could just be her speaking in Chinese, trying to wake up the Winter Soldier.
Ooh. How did we not make that joke? How did we not make that joke this season? Jeez. How did it take so long to make that joke? So we actually had the cool part is now we're tying everything together. We're tying all worlds together. That we have Alyssa Jones interviewing Holden on his own podcast. I love this stuff. Like, it's such a cool little thing, like a little throw where we have all this stuff. And then we have the fact that they're Netflix.
We're coming up on my favorite joke in this movie.
Okay. What was your joke? Go ahead, tell us.
Basically her saying, well, Netflix is interested in, you know, just producing it only from the perspective of a lesbian woman or in color or a
queer person, yeah.
Or queer person or a person of color or anything other than a straight white guy.
Yeah, which is amazing. Very, very funny. Which is accurate. Not gonna lie, it's pretty accurate.
Because now if I were writing this, I would just add it. And if it gets a certain amount of critical acclaim, they'll cancel it after the first season.
Well, that is Netflix. Yeah. That is Netflix.
I'm starting to think that their whole programming system is like Springtime for Hitler, where it's trying to become a tax write-off.
Let me set up what we're talking about anyway. Holden says the Chasing Amy has been picked up by Netflix for a series. All right, I just wanted to just clarify that. So my whole thing with Netflix is they put out so much content. Yeah. They put out too much content, in my personal opinion. Yeah. Where Disney Plus, they do it right. They schedule it out. They have a series at a time. Like, they own two, like, three Marvel series at the same time. They don't do three Star Wars series at the same time. Yeah. They branch out seasons by, like, a year. They do all the stuff they plan out years in advance what they want to do. And of course, their schedule got fucked up by the pandemic like everything else did, but they try.
Yeah.
Netflix just drops everything. You never have time to watch everything. You don't have time.
It's like 70% of it is crap, and the 30% of it that is actually worth watching, they'll can after the first season.
Like, I'm still pissed about Everything Sucks. Very true. I'm still pissed about that show, Everything Sucks. I am still pissed about that. Have you ever watched Everything Sucks, Mike? Did you ever watch that show?
I did, yes.
Yeah, no, that was such a great show. That was such a great fucking show, and they canceled it after the season. On a cliffhanger. On a fucking cliffhanger! I'm so mad. I'm so mad.
I hate that crap. I mean, how many Netflix shows actually make it past, like, say season two? I know the joke is season one, but what, like, none of them?
Maybe, like Orange and the New Black. The big hits.
The biggest shows.
Yeah, like Orange and the New Black or Daredevil. Daredevil was the only Marvel show besides, maybe past season two. Like, that was the only one of the Marvel shows. Like, Jessica Jones got a season two, and that's it. Like, nothing gets season two.
Only one.
Yeah. Well, Iron Fist sucked. But
and feel free to.
So that's when you can understand why it was only one season. But...
Yeah.
Say, and feel free to edit this out if you want. But hey, the woker the better.
Well, it's not a bad thing. I mean, actually, you know what? It ties it perfectly what we're talking about in the movie. Like, that's the joke they're making in the movie is what you just said. Like, it's perfect. It's not going to edit that out because it's perfect. Exactly what they're talking about. I mean, woke is the community. It's my issue with cancel culture. It's the same mentality. Yeah. Everything's woke. Everything's woke.
But then what was Everything Sucks problem?
I don't know. That's my problem. I don't understand it. Because the best part is, the only reason I watch this show, I would never watch it. It's just, what the hell is this? But I have a bunch of podcasters that are my age that are like, you have to watch this show because it's perfect for our age range. So I binged the entire thing in like 2 days. Because I'm like, this is such a great show, and then it got canceled.
The only problem I have with with tackling social issues nowadays is that they used to balance that out with, you know, good storytelling, a good script, and acting. Now it just seems that it's basically the main priority, and that everything else gets made into a distant sixth or seventh priority.
That's true. Well, at least like
I just get annoyed at having the message beaten into me with like a sledgehammer on concrete.
Understandable. It's understandable. Actually, I get it. Like, for instance, if you're gonna have I love the fact that there's more female directors and there's more everything. Yeah. But if you're going to do it like Star Wars did. And not Star Wars movies. I'm talking about the TV series. If you told me that Deborah Chow, who I never heard of before The Mandalorian, never heard of her.
Yeah.
If you told me that she was going to direct some of the best Star Wars television ever made, I would never believed you. Right. I would have never believed you. But she's done some of the best TV, Star Wars TV, ever. But I didn't know her name until the credits. They didn't make a big deal out of it. Until the credits. That's how you should do it. That's how it should be done.
And then we have Eternals, in which they've spent, you know, time making the cast diverse and that, and basically apparently didn't spend as much time on the script.
Which, again, make your point exactly, though. If you're going to do that, I respect it. I respect being diverse. You gotta do it. You gotta respect it back. But you're right. If the story's not there and there's no, I haven't watched the movie. Yeah. I want to see it. I haven't watched it yet. Yeah. But if there's no story, what's the point of the diverseness?
Yeah, who cares? Just beat that message into them. And then if they don't accept it, just call them idiots or racists.
Or like I said, I've been enjoying more of the TV series than the movies because, like, the Marvel TV series is, they've gone the route. They literally addressed racism in Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yeah. They went head on addressing. Or straight up racism in the middle of the Black Lives Matter movement. It is one of the best Disney series has ever made. Like, one of the best Disney series they ever did.
Because it wasn't like how Supergirl handled the.
No, that was terrible. That was awful. But, like, they literally, because you have, I'm completely off topic, but it's going to say that. We had Sam Wilson, obviously, a black man, giving the Captain America shield. Well, how do you deal with a black man in a white America becoming Captain America? That was the whole season. Yeah. That's the whole season about, and it was so good. It was so great when it was over. You wanted more, and then they announced the movie. And I'm like, oh, damn it. Okay, cool. I give him credit. I give him so much credit. Like, it was such a well-done story. That's how you do it. That's the smart way of doing it. And they addressed social issues without, like, it being a big deal because it's part of the story you're telling. It's the same mentality. It really is the exact same mentality.
Basically, if you want to know how to do it right, go look at horror movies from the 70s where they tackled the social commentary, but also put far more, but both put just as much of a bunch of a priority in the story and the acting.
Yeah,
acting. I mean, Dawn of the Dead is basically the best example of this because there's social commentary on consumerism and mall culture and that, but it's also pretty much put in the background, but not enough that it gets ignored.
Fair enough. So let's bring us back to our movie, because I do want to talk about a couple of things here. We have Joey Adams, who's playing Alyssa Jones. And the cool part about this is people don't realize this if you don't listen to every single one of the podcasts that Kevin Smith records. This is actually when they were doing Chasing Amy, Joey and Kevin were dating. So to bring her back to this movie, it was actually a pretty big deal to call back his ex-girlfriend to be back on this set. And the fact that she said yes, again, going back to the Jack of, he almost died of a heart attack, so he's just bringing back everybody that he knows. But, like, that's pretty cool for him her to come back for this. I do want to know, though, if they didn't get Ben back, was she going to be in one of those panels? Like, a part of one of those crazy panels that we saw in the last 5 minutes? I'd love to know if that was, like, the plan if Ben didn't come back.
I'd assume probably. Because she would have said yes, and she was definitely in it. So they would have had to find some way to, like, sneak her in. Unless they just ran into her at, like, this point in the movie and just kind of winged it without Ben.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Oh, hell, she could have been the one who gave them the
passes and everything. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So she asked who they are, which is funny. It's very funny. I'm not gonna lie. That line made me chuckle. And then she called them Howard and Kumar, which is even funnier.
Yes.
How we went through, by the way, how the hell Kevin resisted to the hour and 11-minute mark to make a Howard and Kumar reference, I will never know. I resisted that.
Oh, so much whitewashing with that joke. Canceled!
So, okay, Howard and Kumar. I saw the first movie. Didn't hate it. Never saw the sequels. Never saw the sequels at all. Like, had no interest.
I've got them. I got to watch them.
Yeah, I never had interest to watch the sequels. How about you, Mike? Did you ever see anything of the Howard Kumar movies?
I watched the first two. Yeah, the second one definitely doesn't live up to the novelty of the first one. I think they just were like, oh, people like wacky stuff. Let's just do wacky stuff the whole. And it just kind of really, it really killed the vibe. Like the first one is definitely a classic for Harold and Kumar, but. No, Escape from Guantanamo Bay was not really that great.
Although they do have an interesting thing on the Blu-ray where kind of like the DVD for Final Destination 3, they have like a choose-your-own-adventure thing.
Oh, that's intriguing. That's actually pretty intriguing.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm intrigued in seeing the third movie just because Danny Trejo is in it.
He doesn't do any. He's very funny. He popped up in The Flash, and he was hysterical in The fucking Flash. Like, he was so funny on that show.
He's also great in Spy Kids, especially.
Oh, true. You're right. He is great in Spy Kids. You're
I do like in the second one where he brings up the Spy Watch. Yes. It does everything but tell time. It doesn't tell time. There wasn't enough room for the clock.
Jesus Christ, that's funny. That's funny. So anyway, He clarified that they are the real Jay and Silent Bob that inspired him to do Blunt Man and Chronic, and then he says that the Quiet One gave him the title idea for Chasing Amy, and then it dawned on him that wow, they did a lot for me. They did a lot for me. And I do love the line, these motherfuckers paid off like slot machines.
I do love you. Well, you guys inspired Blunt Man and Chronic. The duh heard around the world.
But it's just very funny, that's all. It's just like, if you don't know, and yeah, have him explain it, it's very funny to me. So then we meet her. Did they say it was her girlfriend or partner, life, her partner, her wife? I don't think they ever explained what she was. Like, I was trying to figure that out. You know what I mean? Like,
I have a feeling it's a polyamorous relationship.
Well, and he says that
that's what I got from it.
Yeah. That's what you got from it too? Okay. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just wondering what they classified it. No, no. They classify things, so I'm just wondering if they classified
it. It's the thing they always make a joke about with Jason gave me that, oh, wait, he turns a straight no. Maybe she's just bi.
True. That's very true. But he does clarify that he didn't. Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. We'll get to all that in a second. So you go back and forth. And I love the fact that he then has to re-explain the plot of Chasing Amy to Jay. Now, the joke here, there's a double joke here. There's a joke of the fact that Jay doesn't remember the movie he was in. But there's also the fact that Jay Mew does not remember being in that movie. And then that has been a joke. He does not remember being in that movie because he was too damn high.
Oh, it's like
and drunk. He doesn't remember being in that movie at all.
Like Carrie Fisher during much of the 80s.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, Jay admits he does not remember being in that movie, and like, that's the joke here. It's a double joke here. Like, it's funny that Jay has a terrible memory, but it's also even weirder that Jay Mews doesn't remember the movie that he was in. So we find out that they were together. They were together for 20 years, and they asked him to be the father. And that's where Jay does the whole, oh, you guys had sex. But no. No, they did not. And I loved, okay, so he explains the whole process of in vitro, which is hysterical to me, but Bob, doing the reenactment is even funnier, he's doing a jerk-off motion into a cup, into a tray, which is even funnier, like, what the hell are you doing?
So it's like Bob is the sign language, it's like Bob is the sign language bubble.
Yeah, like.
It's like the Cliff Notes version of how it's done.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that till today when I'm watching it back. I'm like, what the hell is he doing? I'm like, oh, he's miming jerking off into a cup.
Because the only way this could have been funnier is if they explained it to Jay, like, well, you see, when a mommy and a daddy love each other very, very much.
But, like, that's even funnier. The fact that that's Bob Cliff Notes is even funnier. So then we enter. We find out. We meet his daughter, their daughter. And her name is Amy, but this is Jason Mewes' daughter.
All together now. Aww.
So this is the debut and on screen of Jay Mewes' daughter.
She is aggressively adorable.
Yeah, she is adorable.
Very much.
I don't remember how old she was in this movie, but she is the epitome of a daddy's girl. Like, epitome of one. Like, she has him wrapped around her literal finger. And I know this because I've heard it on the podcast. She's interrupted a Jay and Silent Bob at home during the pandemic because she wanted her daddy's attention. You could hear her in the background. Like, it was so fucking adorable. But no, this is really cool. Like, I almost hope, like, they have another chance in, like, 10 years like they did with Harley. Where they can bring her back like they did with Harley in this movie. Like, that would be really funny just to maybe comparison in, like, in 10 years. I doubt they will do that, but it would be cool if they did. But we actually introduce her, which is so freaking cute. I'm sorry, this season's so freaking cute, especially when the fact that she gets a line and she gets to say, hi to Jay and Silent Bob, which is adorable. Oh, and I also love the fact that she says her name is Amy. And Bob's reaction is amazing.
Like, it's going to say Bob is just having that. It's sort of like me whenever I see a dog. You know, just go, look at the puppy. Look at the puppy. Look at the puppy. Bob is just like, look at the baby. Look at the baby. Look at the baby.
So what's fun about this is, like, you have his daughter here. And Jay's trying so hard to not be her dad in the scene. He's trying so hard. You can see it in his face. He's so proud of her for being here. He's so proud of her hitting her marks and then getting a line out. But he's trying so hard not to run up to her. see it. You can't hide that face. He's such a proud daddy.
And I just like them waving at her. You know?
Yeah, it's so cute.
It's like a moment of cute that just wandered in from another movie.
Yeah, pretty much. I feel like this whole scene wandered from another movie. This entire sequence.
scene doesn't belong.
No, nothing. And you can tell it was edited at the last minute. Like, you can totally tell.
It would be like editing a Care Bears cartoon into the middle of Tusk.
Wow. There's something you never thought you'd say, did you? There's something you never thought you'd say.
Never here in the same sentence.
Oddly, again, not one of the trainers that you said on this season. So, between the two of us, we've said some strange shit this season. We really have. So I'm actually quickly looking up the song here. So we have, she leaves Amy with them, which is adorable. Yeah. And I'm just trying to find the song that's playing. The song we were hearing in the background is Mary Bourne's song, Stay With Me.
I just like the fact she trusts Jay and Bob enough to leave them.
Yeah, I think that's also adorable. Like, that's really cute. Like, there's so many little things here. Like, you don't have to be this game cute. Yeah. Although, this single came out in 2019. It looks like it was an original song for this movie. Mm. Because I'm looking up here, and it literally lists it as only on the Jay and Silent Bob soundtrack.
Yeah. Wow.
Which is pretty cool. So this is one of the movie songs on here. We'll get some more in the credits later that are originally made for this movie. So that's pretty cool. So then we have another sit-down serious conversation we're having in this movie. Apparently, this is what we're doing. But it's a hell of a lot better than the Method Man and Red Man theme, because at least this is actually a real conversation and not a sit-down or in a smoking haze conversation.
And I do like the line, how did something that cute come from your funny book-making balls?
It's a fair question. It really is fair. Okay, I'll tell a quick story.
And the answer is, I'm Ben Affleck, motherfuckers.
That's a true answer. So, okay, this is going to sound bad. So when I was at the airport, we had a friend. I had a friend named John. He was older than us. And he had a daughter. Maybe she was about 18, 19 at the time. And she was really attractive. Really attractive. We always joked about it. And he's like, he came up to us one time. It's straight up truth. Because up to us one time, he's like, I know you guys are talking about my daughter. And I know she's good looking. I'm like, okay. And he's like, you're probably wondering why. Because he's like, I'm not exactly the most attractive person in the world. And I know I'm not. He says it straight up serious. He's like, I know I'm not the most attractive person in the world. But I've always heard that if two ugly people fuck, then you end up with a really attractive kid.
Or in Kevin's
Which
case,
might be one of the funniest lines I've ever forget that already. That made me laugh every time I hear it.
Or in Kevin's case, an ugly guy and an attractive girl.
Kevin's not an ugly person. Yeah. Kevin's not an ugly person. I mean, come on. Yeah. But Harley does look a lot like Jen, so we can't really argue that. But anyway, we continue on here. And I like the fact that now we're getting serious. We're getting serious. And what's fun about this is that Kevin literally has his entire sequence for Ben to tell him how to live life. What we're doing here. How he's no longer the hero in his own story, which I love that line personally. And he says that he always thought of himself as Bruce Wayne, but now he looks at himself as Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
And his mother that we don't know, remember her name, which made me laugh. That one made me laugh. That joke made me laugh. But so Mike, you were having issues with this sequence. Go ahead. You said you wanted to talk about the sequence at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just honestly, it's just so like down to earth. And I really feel like it is really like a message, like either to or from like all fathers. I don't have kids. So obviously like I can't relate, at least not at the moment. But I just, it's so like heartfelt and it's just so like caring. And so like really very contrast to like the rest of or most of the rest of the movie, just the sitting there and just even those phrases of like, you know, it's not all about you anymore, like, you know, it's about them, it's not your, you're not the star of the show, they are, like, I don't know, it was just it really like struck a chord with me. And I don't know if it was something I noticed the first time I saw the movie or maybe like perhaps like now later on. I mean, I know it came out, what, 2019?
Three years ago. The tour ended right before the pandemic hit.
But since then, for me, for example, like even though I'm not a father, like I just started being a teacher within that time. And now hearing that and thinking of like the kids in my own class And it's just something that really, like, personally, like, struck a chord with me, which is funny thinking of, like, something so heartfelt from, like, a Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Right, exactly. It's so true, though. You're absolutely 100% right. You're 100% right.
But it was such a great line. Like, it's just definitely one of my favorite parts of the movie, just for, like, how, like, intimate that moment is, just talking about, like, having children, basically, mm-hmm. since they're, you know, they're all, or at least, like, Jay and Silent Bob becoming fathers and, like, with their own kids.
Right. It's crazy that he did his whole speech with Jay's actual kid in the room, which is even crazier when you think about it. Like, that's even crazier. The fact that we've had this entire movie with Harley as well.
Yeah.
Was even nuttier. Like, he did this entire speech. And again, we don't realize in the background we've been friends for a long time. I got a 13-year-old kid now. Like, it's crazy. When you think about it, right?
Exactly.
It's crazy. And I watch him grow up, and really is his story. It's been his story for a long time now. Like, it's crazy when you think about it.
It should be.
And I relate to the sequence. Like, it's a really cool moment. It's also nice to calm things down a little bit too, because we have been nonstop a lot, especially the last half hour. So it was nice to calm down a little bit. And be serious. Like, have a serious conversation with a grown-up Ben Affleck, grown-up Jay and Silent Bob. Like, everyone's kind of grown up a little bit here. It's nice. I do like the line that the trade-off is you really don't get a third act to your story because the story changes. Oh, that is a great line. It's a great line. You could tell a father wrote this, though. Like, Kevin would not have been able to write this 20 years ago. But he could do it now because he has Harley. You know, so that it's a whole different life. He didn't have a 20-year-old kid like he has now. Like, it's crazy when you think about it. But by the way, just moved out recently with her boyfriend recently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they just, right after lockdown, they got their own place, and they now moved out. So, like, it's a big deal. So for the first time, Jen and Kevin are living by themselves for the first time since they got married. Now, it's them and the dogs. It's crazy.
That's crazy. But no, it's just such a heartfelt and so well written speech that I don't think this scene, like, I was actually kind of excited when you put me on, like, this scene, and I rewatched it just to get a glimpse of it. And it just, I don't know, it was just something that, like I said, just really, like, hit home. And it was just such a really well written, down to earth scene for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And it also was nice to bring you in for something not as crazy as we normally bring you in on this show. Am I right? It's nice and refreshing, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's mature talk.
Yes, very true. It's very mature. We're older. We're definitely older. And for reference point, me and Mike, for people listening that don't realize this because they follow along with my shows, we have known each other since what, 1994? How long we've known each other? Like, it's been a long time. So me and Gary became friends. That was 1994.
Can we just say 95 so it's like a devil's cup year?
There you go. Perfect. 95. Perfect. 95.
I about a year.
No, that's fine. 95. That's how long we know each other. That's insane. When you think about it. So it's really cool for us to sit here and do a mature scene in this movie. As adults.
Yeah.
As, like, you're engaged. I'm married with a kid. Like, it's crazy.
Exactly.
Oh, by the way, publicly, congratulations on that, by the way. Publicly.
Thank you very much.
Yes. So, okay. So the only thing in here besides the serious conversation, they did have the very funny Martha joke in there. That was a very funny line. Like, throw it into this serious thing. He had to throw a Martha joke in there.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably one of the dumbest decisions in a major screenplay in a while, so it deserves to get bashed every chance it gets.
I know you've been crushing on Batman v Superman pretty much this entire run, but you can vent about the Martha theme now if you wish.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Come on. Come on, it very clearly feels like you wrote yourself into a corner with that one and need to find a way to get them to fight together. Like, wait a minute, his mom is the same first name? Clark's mom is the same first name. There we go!
And what's funny is, it's there.
Yeah.
And, like, it almost, and I haven't seen the movie, I'm going to go off your ranting, because I never actually, because of your rant, I've never actually seen the movie.
Yeah.
Be honest with you.
Yeah.
But if you do it right, like, you can write that better and still have that thing in there and make that, like, a cool moment. But you have to write it right. Yeah. You have to actually write it correctly, or it's just as lame as you're talking about it.
With how they did, they just pulled it out of their ass.
And you're right. It is something that bad is meant to be made fun of at any chance you possibly have.
I still think the funniest jab against that was at a Comic-Con where they had a preacher standing outside, you know, spewing the dogma as usual. A guy in a Deadpool costume walks up to him with a sign that says, "Save Martha."
Oh, cosplay can be creative. It can be really creative. Well.
And to the guy's credit, he just rolled with it.
Yes. Okay, you gotta love the cosplay with Wizard World sometimes. You gotta love it. I can't say that anymore, can I? I can't say Wizard World anymore. Jeez, I can't say that anymore. By the time people hear this, it's no longer Wizard World. It's Fan Expo. I have to remind myself of that.
It's like Tom, it's Hutom.
Well, it's for real. Fan Expo bought Wizard World. So now we're no longer Wizard World panelists. We're Fan Expo panelists. So I have to remind myself of that.
How fancy.
But anyway, let's actually wrap up this episode. On the next episode, we have, speaking of Batman and all the fun stuff with Ben Affleck, we have Niall and John from Bat Minute on next. They're up next. And seriously, when I messaged them, I just said, "I want you on here because of Val Kilmer." And what it turned into is a hilarious hour of Batman preferences and all kinds of stuff. It's definitely a fun episode to listen to next. So please tune in for that in our next show. Normally, this is where I throw it to our guest to plug things. But obviously, you do my shows. So
you want me to plug your show?
I can do it because I've been doing it every week. The Blinkist House Show. And with Blinkist House Show with Mark every single Friday on all podcast platforms across your podcast lover, you listen to this, go listen to that, and go to theblakershouseshow.com. And also, if you go to the Public Store for Blakers House Show, you can get the, while it's still available, the Clerks Minute Reboot t-shirt that I am wearing, and you can buy that from our Public Store while it's still standing. I have a weird feeling by the time Clerks Street comes around, it will no longer be up there. But hopefully, by the time you're hearing this, it will still be there, because we've gotten trouble for this t-shirt in the past. But I'm hoping it stays up this time. Anyway, Mike, thank you so much for taking time out to do this show.
Oh, thank you for having me. You know, anytime.
Of course. And as for everybody, we'll see you on the next episode with the Bat Minute crossover event that we're looking forward to. Till then, I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
And have a good day, everybody.
So how did something that cute come from your funny book making balls?
Noise, noise, noise. Smoking weed, doing coke, drinking beers, rolling fatties, smoking blunts. Who smokes the blunts? Rolling blunts and smoking.